Good morning to all of you. We're glad that you're here today, and it is so good to have Ann and Allie here today. That is a blessing. Amen. And we're glad that you're all here today. And in our call to worship, I want to draw your attention to a passage that we're going to be in this morning. We got actually three passages that we're going to be doing on Luke's statements to his friend Theophilus concerning generosity. And one of the things that he shares with Theophilus in chapter 10 is the notation about the interaction between Mary, Martha, and Jesus. And we read in verse 38, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." In the other Gospels, we are told of a generous act that Mary did. She took of the special fragrance that she had purchased, and she broke the neck off, and she poured it onto the feet of Jesus, and she used her hair to wipe his feet, and the aroma filled the entire house. She was generous. Now, Martha was looking for generosity of time and labor from her sister, but Jesus was looking for generosity of time toward him, and she went over and above that. She chose the better part. She gave of herself. That expensive ointment was something that had been purchased by her for her own funeral someday. That was a common thing in those days, that you would purchase fragrances that you would have used in your body when it was wrapped for burial, and they would saturate the cloths with this particular ointment, and she had already purchased hers for that day, but she chose to offer it to Jesus and to give it to him. And then to use her own hair to wipe his feet. Nothing inappropriate about that at all. It was the sign of her deference and her gratefulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you this morning as we look at these passages of Scripture in the book of Luke that we understand that God wants us to give from a heart that volunteers to give. Not because I have to, but because I want to. There's a huge difference in the attitude behind generosity of giving. Some people give because they can. Some people give because they want to, and they'll give whatever they have left to him. We're going to learn that this morning. We need to understand and know that generosity should have a motive, and that motive should be the honor and glorification of Jesus Christ, and I'm willing to sacrifice whatever to bring glory and honor to his precious name. And so with that, I pray that we can start our worship service today with praise and adoration of the one who alone is deserving, but that we might understand that he wants us to give to him not because we have to, but as in Mary's case, because we want to.
Start our singing this morning with number 407. Number 407, "Come Christians, join to sing, and let's meditate on what our Lord has done for us in his goodness, as we lift our voices to sing to him." Let's stand together, number 407.
Speak.
saying your prayer this morning.
Good morning. Join me, please. Father, how good it is to meet together with the saints, to know, Father, that you are here because your Spirit dwells within your church. And Father, we pray that through the indwelling power of your Holy Spirit that we would give you the worship you deserve today, and that we would realize the more we see in the world, there's little here that we want. And Father, as we live in these bodies and we bring so many prayer requests before your throne, the weaknesses, the illnesses, the unexpected accidents, Father, we realize that we are in a fragile frame, looking forward to that time that you call us to be with you. Lord, help us to be looking up, to anticipate a body without flaw, without sin. Lord, that we might live that way today in preparation, knowing, Lord, you have much for us, and this is not the end. This is only the beginning for the Christian. I pray this morning that as we hear your word and we think about those who can't be with us or those who are sick, that we would have great joy, Father, that you know everything about us. You know what we need. You know the trials that we require. But, Father, we're weak, and we pray for your strength. We pray for your healing. And, Lord, we thank you that you put it in our hearts to pray for one another, to intercede, not only for the church, Lord, but we intercede for our world, for our nation, that seems to be disregarding you at every turn. We have young people, the highest levels of education, seeming to become more ignorant every day. Lord, there's nonsense in their teaching and their understanding, their failure to understand a great God and our Lord Jesus Christ leads them to lives of anger, rage, and hatred. We thank you that we have a faithful, merciful, loving God. And Father, we pray that you put that in our hearts to pray for these people, to pray for our leaders, to pray for our land, and certainly to pray for the nation of Israel. Pray, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts for the message. Help us to be looking up to anticipate the anytime return of our Lord Jesus Christ for his church, and to live accordingly, Father. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.
And you may be seated, and we'll turn to 377 as we continue to sing. Number 377, How Can I Fear? Verses 1 and 2, number 377.
How can I fear?
Starting number 509. Number 509, as we prepare for the message this morning, take time to be holy. Number 509.
Christ. What a glorious message, and we appreciate that beautiful number by Dr. Watt and Chrissy Gamble. Just take your Bibles, please, and would you turn with me to Luke chapter 10. I want to speak to you a second message on the subject of generosity and wealth. We're considering the sixth theological theme of the book of Luke and what he shared with his friend Theophilus, seeking to see this man come to faith in Jesus Christ. He shared with him some of the great truths of the Lord Jesus Christ. And last week we looked at generosity, and we're going to continue that thought today. And we're going to look at three different passages other than the one we looked at last week in Luke 12 concerning generosity and the secret, now get this, the secret to breaking wealth's grip. I think it's important for us to recognize that wealth has a tremendous grip on the human heart. And we need to understand that God gives so that we might return. He gives so that we might return it to whatever He needs it for. We're a channel. We're not a valve. The channel allows the wealth that God gives to flow through for whatever purposes God wants it to use. And a lot of times we shut the valve off and it just builds up and the flow stops. And we need to understand that God wants His people to be generous. He wants them to be a giving people. And we looked at last time the passage in Luke chapter 12. And today we're going to look at three other examples. I mentioned that Augustus Caesar, the first emperor of Rome, and Theophilus was a Roman citizen and no doubt a leader in that particular economy. But whenever he came, he said, "I found a city of clay. And when I left it a city of marble." Of course, we're going to have some of our folks go to Rome this summer for a missions trip, and they're going to find a lot of old buildings that are caving in. The marble has kind of tarnished through the years. The huge Colosseum that once had lions chasing down Christians and devouring them and gladiators dispatching Christians, that's just an empty shell today. And we need to understand and know that God works in hearts to redeem them from the grip of things that would keep them and cause them to continue on to a devil's hell. But generosity is something that God can do in our hearts that will cause the grip of wealth to cease. And I want us to read again these verses here in Luke chapter 10 at the very end of the chapter that highlight something that happened in the Lord's life and two different women that were a part of His life and no doubt were very kind to Him and took care of Him on many occasions. It says, "Now it came to pass," verse 38, "as they went, that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word." So we have two sisters. And they are two different sisters, like most sisters are. Not every sister is the same. And everyone has different interests and different likes and dislikes and different desires. And that's perfectly fine. God doesn't want us to be clones. He wants us all to be different. But here was Martha, and she was the keeper of the house. And we have no record other than Mary and Martha had a brother by the name of Lazarus that we're told about in the book of John, who died and Jesus brought him back to life. But here are these women. They do not seem to be married. And Martha's busy in the kitchen. She's taking care of the needs that needed to be met. How many of you like to eat? I don't think Jesus came over just to sit around the table and talk. I think that He came over to have a meal with them. That's why they invited Him to come. And so Martha's doing what she should do. She's making a meal, but she noticed that she doesn't have a helper. Now, it's nice to have helpers whenever you're doing a meal. Now, some people don't like helpers. They would prefer to work alone. They've got it. But Martha wasn't that way. Martha wanted her sister helping. We have a table to set here, and we've got to get the drinks out, and we've got to get all the utensils out and bring the food out. And so Martha goes back into Jesus, and she just speaks her peace. And verse 40, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, 'Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?'" Now, she doesn't go and say anything to Mary. Who does she speak to? She speaks to Jesus. Mary had come to meet Jesus, and she's entertaining the guest. But actually, she's not doing a whole lot of entertaining. She's listening. And Jesus is teaching. Jesus is communicating His Word, and Mary is soaking it all in, and so Martha's just had it. She goes marching out there, and she let Jesus have it. All right? She said, "Lord, do you not care?" Oh, boy. Martha, do you know what you just said to the God of the ages? Okay, to Jesus? Do you not care that my sister is spending all her time with you and she's not spending time with me helping? Now stop right here. This is typical humanity. This is just the way things operate in a human world, right? We need help in the kitchen, right, ladies? Yes! That's why God gave children, right? So they could help in the kitchen. And dads say, God gave children to help out in the yard. And so poor kids get pulled both ways. They're helping out in the kitchen and helping out in the yard. That's also humanity too, kids, just in case you're wondering about that. But here she comes and she just goes up to Jesus. Don't you care? I wish that I could have been there to take a picture of Jesus' face. I mean, He's getting it from Martha. All right? He's not used to this. And Martha comes and says, do you not care that you're keeping Mary? And we got work to do in there, and she's out here. Now, we're not going to take time to look at the other parallel passages, but something else had taken place too, and that was the anointing of Jesus, where Mary anoints the Lord Jesus, and she understands what He's come to do. She understands that He's going to the cross. And she understands that Jesus, I believe in her heart, she understood and knew that He was the Son of God and that God had sent Him for a reason and a purpose. And she was able to worship Him. Now, how did she worship Him? She sacrificially gave to Him something that was very precious to her. And that was the precious ointment that she had saved probably a year's wage to purchase so that she would have it perhaps one day for her own funeral. And she had purchased this and she gave it to Him, poured it out on His feet. When it was poured out, it was what? Gone. There's no picking it back up again and putting it back into that. The vase is broken. The oil is spent. She has sacrificed to her Lord. Notice how our Lord responds to Martha here. I can only imagine Theophilus reading this for the first time. I think he probably snickered for just a moment. She's getting Him. That's how we would respond. Wow, she's giving it to Him. But how does the Lord respond here to her? And Jesus answered, verse 41, and said unto her, Martha, Martha. When you have your name said twice, something's coming around to Ben. You know, as a kid, whenever I would do something or whatever, it was usually, Brian, Todd! Now, I never heard Brian very often. Only in discipline situations. That's my first name, Brian. You know, it would be, Todd, come do the dishes, or Todd, go clean your room, or whatever. But if it was the second call, it was, Brian, Todd, you better get yourself in here. Now that, in my brain, registered. Okay, I better get it and get in there quick. Mama's got something for me to do. Because Brian Todd was said. Well, here, the Lord says, Martha, Martha. Now, what is He doing? He's slowing her down a bit. He's bringing her down. Now, wait a minute. Whoa, Martha, Martha. Your sister has chosen the better part. Now, what was that? Fellowshipping with Him. Worshiping Him. It went beyond just simple fellowship of two people together in a living room setting. It was a worship scene, and she had chosen the better part. Now, eating is good. I would imagine right now that all across Milton and your homes, there may be food cooking. Or maybe it's down at a local restaurant waiting for you to come get it. And you're thinking about it, boy, that's sure going to be good today when we get home. I hope Pastor Todd doesn't go past noon. I hope he doesn't go to 5 after or 10 after or whatever, because my baked potatoes are going to be toast if he drags it out. Again, human living, right? That's just what we do. We think about those kind of things. But here was Martha encumbered with her tasks, missing something very vital. And the Lord makes her aware of that by saying, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I think they still ate dinner that night. Maybe it was a little bit later. They still ate dinner, but one thing that Martha missed that evening was the worship and adoration of Jesus Christ. Her generous offering was food. No doubt that both Mary and Martha and maybe Lazarus had pitched in to purchase. But Mary had gone beyond that. She sacrificially gave something to the Lord and spent it totally on Him. Nothing to be taken back. It was all given. It kind of reminds you of the burnt offerings, the consecration offerings of the Old Testament, where the entire animal was consumed and given to God as a symbol of worship and adoration. She was generous with her time in worship to God. We can talk about the oil, but I don't want you to miss this part. She was generous in her time spent with Him. Are you generous with your time with the Lord, spending time with Him? I'm not out here to take the whip, whoosh, and whip people. Oh, I got to get in there. I got to get my... I'm gonna set up a schedule. And I'm going to honor that schedule. I'm going to do it. Well, that's a pretty good start if you don't have a schedule and you're not doing it. But God wants more than that. You know what He wants? He wants your heart. He wants your ear so He can communicate His Word. He sat there with Mary and He communicated. We don't know. It's not recorded. But Mary got it. She received it. And she adored Him and worshiped Him. There was a special time together. She had chosen the better part, and it shall not be what? Taken away from her. She had been generous with her time. She had been generous to hear Him. When we talk about generosity, we're not just talking about wealth. Though she did sacrifice something that was special to her, she was generous with something that you can never get back, and that's time. Time is marching on, is it not? Mr. Woods walked in the door. You know how many times Mr. Woods has walked in through this door for the last 60-something years? It's a different door now, but the one door that used to be out here is gone, but he's still coming into the same place. Mr. Woods, have you ever counted how many times you've come in through the door of this place? Yeah. And all the memories. And I see Mr. Woods get out of the car and he came walking up there. All the memories of my childhood with Mr. Woods. Special times. Now, he might not consider them very special. He had to sit there and listen and the horns honking. And his poor hearing is just about shot because of all the horrendous torture that he went through whenever he was teaching us how to play horns and so forth like that. But we've got a lot of memories together. And they all come flooding back. Memories of traveling up the East Coast for 3 weeks, going from church to church, colleges, schools, playing our instruments, and promoting the Santa Rosa Christian College at that time, which we had here on campus. Boy, you talk about some memories. There were some moments on that trip that the Lord had to restrain Mr. Woods, because I think he would have killed us all. And he'd come back with an empty van and a smile on his face. All right? But a lot of memories that are there. You know why? Because we got to share them. Isn't that what fellowship is? It's sharing. Mary received what Jesus shared with her. And Jesus said, that's not going to be taken away from her. Now, Martha shared dinner. And Martha shared her labor, all of which I am not going to talk down. It's needful. Amen? But she missed out. She came in there and she let Jesus know, do you not care that I'm in there working by myself and she's out here with you? Do you not care? Oh, yes, he does care. He cares about your heart. He cares about your soul. He cares about every part of your being. But he has things he wants to share with you, and you got to stop and be generous with your time so that he can share those things with you. Do I hear an amen? We have got to slow down and take time, give him, be generous with our time and say, Lord, teach me what you want me to learn. Don't go into it and say, Jesus, I've got some things that I think I've noticed and I want to run them by you here. That's not what study is. Study is him talking and I'm listening. Now, I can talk to him in prayer, but I need to talk intelligently, amen? I need to know what I'm talking about. And sometimes even praying, we know not how to pray. And we have to ask the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been to that place where you just had to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, I don't know how to pray about this. Would your Holy Spirit intervene at this point? I have prayed that prayer so many times where I just did not know how to pray. And I just said, Holy Spirit of God, you live within me. You make groanings that cannot be uttered, but you know how to talk to Jesus. Would you do that for me in this particular situation that I have no idea? But you know what you got to do? You got to stop and do that. You got to be generous with your time. So that's the first one that I want you to see in Luke chapter 10. Generous with your time to worship the Lord. Would you turn, please, to Luke chapter 14? We're just a few pages away from that. Luke chapter 14. Look at verse 12, please. Lord Jesus here, given a series of parables. Verse 12, then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, well, we're on a theme here, are we not? Talking about food? I hear some stomachs growling out there, thinking about food here. When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot do what? They cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. This is such a rich passage of Scripture. Give and give and give and expect nothing in return. That's what the Lord is saying here. Now, he's not saying that we don't go out to eat with our friends and our family. That's not the idea here. He says, listen, when you're talking about your time and you're talking about your wealth and you're talking about what God's given to you, be generous. And think beyond those that can respond by giving back to you. I'm going to take so-and-so out to eat because I know they got a lot of money. They'll take me out somewhere too, and we'll probably go to a better place than I'm taking him. All right? I'm taking him to Wendy's. Maybe he'll take me to Jackson's in Pensacola. Woo! That'd be great. He's got the money. He can do it. Well, wait a minute now. Wendy's and Jackson, they're not even in the same sentence together. I'm sorry. I could put some other things in the Wendy's column, including service, that, you know, the drive-through is more like the parking lot. It's called the parking drive, because you sit there and wait and wait and wait and wait until finally, I'm not complaining about Wendy's, I'll stop. But Jackson's, you expect to be waited on. You walk in there in that nice environment and you sit down there and you're all dressed to the hilt. And they've got, what would you like to have? And they will go down and they'll memorize your request. Isn't that amazing? People with a brain and can actually remember exactly what you ordered. And then you're sitting there in front of a person at a cash register and you tell them exactly what you want and it comes out wrong. And you're like, how did that work? All right? Differences in levels of service, correct? Now, my point is this. Actually, it's God's point, because he was making this. Listen, you individuals that are within his hearing, he says, be careful that you don't operate on a principle of give and get. I want you to operate on a principle of give and give. Oh, wait a minute. What? Yeah, give and give. This world is based on give and get. And actually, it's more get than give. We see that in every stitch of society. That principle's out there, but not in God's world. Do you know that heaven is always going to be give and give and give and give and give and give and give? Isn't that going to be wonderful? Because we're going to be living with the giver. Now, what are we going to give? What are we going to give and give and give and give? Well, the Bible says that we're going to have the privilege of giving praise and adoration to his holy and precious name for the endless ages of eternity. It's going to be give and give and give and give, and he's going to give and give and give, and it's going to be a wonderful time, is it not? But in this world, give and get means I'm going to give and I'm going to get and I'm going to keep it. That's not generosity. That's not generosity at all. God expects us to be generous with our time and generous with the material things that he's given to us. And we're to give and we're to just keep on giving and we're just to keep on giving because that's the principle of grace that's in the Bible. What did the Lord say to Paul whenever he asked on three separate occasions to have the thorn removed from his flesh? He had this situation. We don't know what it was. It could have been a physical problem. It could have been something else. It could have been a person. I don't know. But he had this thorn in the flesh. And he went to God and he went three times and said, Lord, would you take it away? And what did the Lord say? I'll be glad to, son. That's not what he said. What did he say? My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your, everybody say it, weakness. I have to admit, I have weakness. Yeah. We're all weak. God is generous with his children. When we're weak, then he can come in with his strong and he can supply everything that we need while we continue with the thorn in the flesh. And that's exactly what he called his servant to do. I'm going to give, but you keep giving too, Paul, and you'll have to deal with this, but my grace is more than sufficient to meet your need with this particular thing that you have. I'm not taking it away. I'm leaving it. That's what Jesus did. So in this second one here, we find a principle. Give and give and give. Not give and get. Not give and keep. But give and give to those who cannot give you anything in what? Return. That's striking. Then, you know, that's what makes us distinct from the world. And what has the church spent so much time through the centuries doing? Trying to erase the line between us and the world. Listen, one of the things that should clarify who we are is our giving spirit. And just keep giving. And just keep giving, just like God gave to you and gives to you. Oh, this is a wonderful principle. Don't seek out those that can give back and take away the deficit whenever you sacrifice and you gave. Now I'm going to get something back in return. That's not generosity at all. Let's give and get. God wants us to give and give. Generosity that earns favors in return is not generosity. Real generosity is giving when no payback is possible, and this is what we receive from the hand of God. I want us to go quickly to the third illustration, and that's in Luke chapter 21. We're almost done. Luke chapter 21. Right near the end of the book, we have another circumstance here. Look at the first four verses of Luke chapter 21. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor woman casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. Now, how is that possible? Two mites. That's nothing. How did she cast in more than what the rich man did when they cast into the treasury? Notice these, please. Verse 4. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Let's step back for just a moment. You know what we just experienced reading that passage of Scripture? The Lord Jesus giving the motive and telling a story about what just happened before these disciples, that they didn't know the motive of why they gave and what they gave, but Jesus did. The Son of Man reports in a miraculous way what the woman gave and why she gave it and what the rich people gave and why they gave it. Now, we as individuals here upon this earth, we cannot judge motives. All we can do is judge actions. Because we're not God. We don't know what's in the heart of an individual. Now, we can surmise, and we can look at their actions later on over a period of time and say, this was probably their motive. And you know, we spend a great deal of time in our courts trying to determine motive for criminal actions. And what do they study? They study all the actions that were done. They study the DNA. They study all the records. They study everything that the investigation has brought out. And they try to assemble a motive. But here, our Lord gives it right to the disciples. There were rich people that were coming up and they were putting their money into the treasury box and they would walk away. And Jesus watched that. And then he watched this woman, this widow. She goes up and she puts her stuff in the box and she walks away. And our Lord enlightens us about something that was different. There was something distinctive about what this woman had done. Of a truth I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. Now, if we were to have the treasure, we always have a witness and that goes with Mr. Schmitz after the church service to count the money. So let's say Mr. Opager's on the job today, counting the money. And he goes back there and he finds the two mites and he sets them over there. And then he looks at all the other coinage that was brought in by the rich people and he adds that and then he adds up that and he says, these two are not equal. So Jesus was wrong. No, he wasn't. Jesus was not wrong. He said, well, yeah, but the math says that she only gave two mites and they gave a lot of money. And Jesus says, no, she gave more. So what's Jesus adding into this that you and I need to know about this morning? What is he bringing out that we need to know? They gave Because they could. It was easy for them to give. They have a lot. They could give. But they did not give sacrificially. They did not do that. They gave because they could. But over here, this poor widow woman, she gave everything she had. The Lord brings that out. Is the Lord accurate when He tells things in His Word? Absolutely. So there's no question. She brought two mites and she put that in, and the Lord said, she hath given more than they all. So what was He looking at? Heart. Generosity has to come from the heart. Now, I don't know her circumstances. We don't have all the details about this woman and how she was in the condition that she was in. But when she came to give at the treasury, she put in two mites, and that was all that she had. And the Lord Jesus honored her that day as someone who had given sacrificially out of what she didn't have. Now, there's a principle of generosity here that must never be missed. And it was put at the end of the letter, I think, for Theophilus to meditate on, because there's so many passages dealing with wealth and generosity in the book of Luke in this letter. And he comes down to the end and he drops this one off on Theophilus. Can you imagine what he was thinking? Here's Theophilus, probably a very wealthy man. He was the most excellent Theophilus. Probably moneyed, position, power, whatever the case might be, but Luke wants him to know something about what God honors among His people. We could go down the list of all the different individuals through the years that have been tremendous, generous people. A Letourneau that gave 90% of his income to the church. He lived on 10% of his income. Letourneau, the one who had come up with all the heavy equipment designs and produced those, mass-produced those, and a college is named after him, a multimillionaire, gave 90% away of his income. I'm not asking you to give up 90%. Now, if you want to, that's okay. God has to work in your heart. But there are those that don't understand what Luke was saying to Theophilus, that God wants the kind of heart that's willing to sacrifice. Sacrifice. Can I end with one last story? There's a gentleman in Oklahoma City, he's a Christian, that one day a month, his business is very wealthy, does very well, he requires that all of his employees, they take one day a month and they have to give it to their church. If they attend church, he gives them the day. If they're not a born-again Christian, he witnesses to them. But if they don't have a church or whatever, then he says, all right, you have to go to a charity and you have to donate your time or whatever. I'm paying you full wages for today, but I want you to go and I want you to serve in your local church whatever they need today. He closes up the shop, and he himself goes to his local church, and he gives his time. He doesn't get paid. He chooses not to be paid. He pays all of his employees to do that. And he was asked not too long ago, this is current, why do you do that? Why do you do that? He said, I want to teach every one of my employees that they're not really giving. They're not really giving until they give of their time. I'm taking care of their monetary needs. I'm paying them to do it. What do they got to do? They got to give up their time, their labor. They could take that day off. They're not allowed to take that day off. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. That's not grace. You should just give them the day and they can do whatever they want to. No, he says, I'm going to pay you. But you have to give time to your church. He's teaching them a very important lesson. And it's something that we need to all gather to our hearts as we close this message. What is the Lord sharing here at the very end of the book? What He's sharing with is that this woman came in and she gave her all. And when she walked away, there was no coins jingling in her purse. Nothing. But she went on her way. God had taken care of her so that she would have those two mites to bring in to give to the treasury. Amen? And she walked back out knowing that God was going to take care of her and that she'd be able to have more to give at a later time. The others already knew it's in the bank. Are you listening? It's in the bank. I don't have to worry. They put their money in, but they're not giving sacrificially. They give because they can. She gave because she wanted to, and she gave everything. Would you bow your heads, please? These are three powerful passages in the book of Luke. And I want every child, I want every teenager, I want every young person, I want every adult to take to heart these three challenges from the book of Luke. That God wants us to be generous. But He wants us to be generous because we want to, not because we have to. And He wants us to learn the principle of give, give, not give, get. Father in heaven, I pray that You'd work in the hearts and lives of all those that are here. We have some very generous people that are here in our church. But we want our children and our teenagers to learn to give as well. The world would teach them give, get. Give and then find somebody to give to that will give you something back that'll be even better and more. That's not generosity. That's not the principle of giving that's found in the Word of God. I pray that You'd help us to look up those that are less fortunate than we are and to help take care of them. There may be things that we can do for them that nobody else would be able to do. Maybe there's a missionary on the field right now that needs some help and we're made aware of that. May we be sensitive to generously giving to help with those particular needs. Lord, there are so many things that Your children can do out of a heart of generosity that will bring praise and glory to Your matchless name. May we not do it because we're forced to, or we have to, or we'll feel pressure from somebody if we don't do it. Lord, help us to just give because we want to, because You have given us so much. We can't even calculate the grace and the mercy and the peace and the love that You've given to Your children. It's incalculable. So I pray that You'd work in our hearts as we have considered the sixth theological understanding of generosity and wealth. Generosity helps us to lose our grip on wealth and realize that we're a channel, not a block. Help us, dear Father, to take to heart the truths of these passages, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's close with number 504. We thank the Lord for the message this morning, and we should do what this hymn says and count our blessings with the things the Lord has given to us and how He's taken care of us, and we can reciprocate that to those that are in need. Number 504, let's stand together to sing that first verse, Count Your Blessings. We do thank You for the things You've done in our lives, for Your grace, Your mercy, for our Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that we would see the needs that are around us and that we would be quick to be that channel, to be able to help, to be able to do what we can do for others that are in need. Father, just thank You for these themes from Luke, and I pray that we would implement them into our lives. We ask that You bless the rest of this day as we continue to serve You, Lord. Give us a good day of rest in Christ's name. Amen. Bless you.